each weekday, a member of the community is invited to Copy at KYUK to discuss news and information relevant to Bethel and the Kuskokwim Delta. Sometimes light, sometimes serious, Copy at KYUK is where our community connects.
Hello, 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 up and down the Cusco. I'm also shouting out to the Yukon and the coast, and as usual, I'm sharing excitement with everyone who's willing to listen. I don't have a lot of time, so I just want to remind everyone that throughout this weekend, now through the weekend, graduations here on KYUK. More later. Now, I have Anna Rose MacArthur on the line for a show. Good morning, Anna Rose.
Good morning, Grady, and welcome to Coffee at KYUK. A warning that today's episode does discuss sexual abuse. Earlier this week, KYUK, in collaboration with Anchorage Daily News and ProPublica, aired stories detailing criminal investigations into former Bethel principal Chris Carmichael. Before FBI agents arrested Carmichael in December, law enforcement had investigated him twice before, once for sending sexual Facebook messages to a student and again when a student alleged he touched her. LKSD administration placed Carmichael on leave both times. Now LKSD is facing civil lawsuits, and Carmichael is facing criminal charges. With me to talk about their investigation are Kyle Hopkins with Anchorage Daily News. Good morning, Kyle.
Good morning.
And KYUK's Greg Kim. Good morning, Greg.
Morning, Anna Rose.
To start with, what was the most surprising thing you learned from this investigation? Kyle, do you want to go first?
I would say that for us, the thing that really kind of triggered a story was, obviously it was an alarming case when the charges were filed in December by federal prosecutors. And then, when we talked to Greg about the new state charges that were filed last month, there was information in those state charges that showed that the school district had clearly been aware of, had been informed, had met with law enforcement on two prior occasions. And there was kind of no disputing that, at least in the minds of state prosecutors. And so that that to me was surprising because it was so, kind of clear cut.
And Greg,
yeah,
what about you?
And just to add on to that, I think when I saw the content of those messages Carmichael sent to a former student in 2016 that are displayed in the state charges, I think I said the same. I asked the same question that former board member Susan Murphy did. I just asked, why wasn't he fired?
And what does LKSD say about why Carmichael wasn't fired?
Greg, do you want to take that one?
Sure, yeah. LKSD says, first of all, he wasn't criminally charged in either incident in 2016 or 2018. And they didn't have evidence in 2016 that he had touched a student. And in 2018, they determined that it was an accidental touching. And in response to the messages, they said that Carmichael was medicated at the time and that impaired his judgment. And they also mentioned that he had worked with the district for over a decade. And the superintendent said that Carmichael was never reported for inappropriate behavior before 2016.
When someone behaves like Carmichael is accused of behaving, how is the system supposed to work? There are protocols for this kind of behavior, right?
I mean, if I could address that, the state has a pretty clear code of ethics for an educator, and a teacher, a principal, a superintendent, they are kind of beholden to a set of rules that are spelled out in state regulations that are different than, just your average adult. So something that an educator does might not be illegal for the average adult to do, but for an educator, it can cost them their job, under the code of ethics. And one of the things that you agree to when you kind of sign on to, have this position of authority over children is, you agree to not engage in any type of sexual conduct with a student. And sexual conduct is really broadly defined. It's not just, you know, physical contact. It's remarks, it's even jokes, innuendo, double entendres, messages, kind of sexually themed messages. All that stuff is out of bounds. And when an educator does that and another educator knows about it, they're supposed to report that to this regulatory board that has the authority to suspend or revoke, you know, an educator's certificate. So there's a pretty rigid and granular, you know, process for how to handle that.
And Carmichael was arrested on December 11th of 2019. Why is the story coming out in May of this year? Greg, you want to take this one?
Yeah, I feel like I can provide some details about this. So almost immediately after Carmichael was arrested, I asked the school district if they knew about any warnings of Carmichael. And you may have heard Dan Walker's initial response where he said basically no. But then I asked Bethel Acting Police Chief Amy Davis if the Bethel Police had ever investigated Carmichael, and she said yes. She told me a few details about that 2018 case, and when I told the district about what Amy told me, their attorney, Jeannie Sleeper, said yes, he had been investigated twice by police. But what Jeannie Sleeper told me was that in 2018, they investigated him for touching the student. And they concluded that it was accidental. And she said there were messages that Carmichael sent to a student in 2016 that were inappropriate. But when I asked what the messages said, she told me I should get it from the troopers. So I sent records requests to Bethel Police and the troopers to verify what Jeannie Sleeper told me. But they both said that the records weren't public. Troopers said that they didn't want to affect the federal trial, and then the Bethel Police said that their investigation had been reopened. So based on what Jeannie Sleeper told me, my reaction was, okay, like, yes, he was investigated twice, but yeah, okay. But then in April, state charges were filed, and that's when we saw what was inside those messages that he sent, and I feel like that's what really triggered this follow-up story.
And these kind of stories, they require weeks of reporting. They require a lot of public document gathering. And, Greg, you just mentioned some of that. Can you talk more about that? How and from where did you gather your information and the documents to report the story, Kyle?
Well, I think, you know, as Greg said, he has filed records requests for some law enforcement reports that we don't have. That we hope to get. We filed records requests with the school district. You know, we asked for things like Carmichael's contracts over the years, just basic information like his pay and kind of the times of service. Where was he working? We also were interested in getting his spending records. Some of what we heard related to gifts that he had given to students or former students, and I think we wanted to know about the source of those gifts. I also was interested in travel. You know, is this someone who traveled with students out of town? The spending records might show that. So we have a kind of a pending request for that information that we're hoping to, the district has attached a pretty hefty bill, like research bill to that, and so we're appealing that cost. There are elements of this that are related to a personnel matter, and you have the ongoing investigation. So, you know, I think we expected and we did hear that the district felt that there were things they couldn't tell us. But, you know, there are plenty of records that we have in hand and others that we're hoping to still receive that helped us kind of fill out the timeline of events here.
Mm-hmm. And then as far as and those are a lot of the records that you're hoping to still receive and that could lead to further reporting on this story, I'm interested in learning more about the process of how you gathered the records that do appear in the story. Greg, you want to take that one?
I mean, I think it's a lot of what Kyle just mentioned. You know, we did get some information from the district. A lot of our information we got from the state charges. We followed up with the district to make sure that we had the facts correct.
Yeah. So, you know, in a story like this, you ask 100 questions, you ask a lot of records, and then as part of that process, we sent a note to the district saying, look, here's kind of what we knew. Here's what we plan to report. They did send kind of a narrative in response from the superintendent, you know, describing from his perspective how they handled it. And a lot of that's included in the story. And it's also linked, that document is linked in the story.
And Kyle, congratulations for winning the Pulitzer Prize in Public Service this year for your reporting on the double standard of public safety systems between rural and urban Alaska. That Pulitzer Prize in Public Service is regarded by many as the highest honor in journalism that we have in the United States. And why did you choose to include this story about Carmichael in that ongoing series?
I had been thinking about educators and sexual misconduct by educators last year. And in fact, we did, you know, one thing I didn't mention when you asked about records is last year we did do a records request to what's called the Professional Teaching Practices Commission. That's the regulatory board that kind of decides if a teacher basically loses their license or not. You know, they hand out licenses, they can take them away, right? I made a records request to that body last year saying, hey, can you tell us all the educators in Alaska who have had who have been sanctioned, who have been punished, you know, officially for sexual misconduct in Alaska? You know, where were they working? What did they do? As a result of that request, we got kind of these letters of, you know, surrender, these letters of revocation of certificates for, you know, a fair number of educators. I had been planning on doing a story, partly based on the Wales case. You know, there's a lawsuit that was settled in Wales regarding a school employee there who had been accused of sexually abusing multiple girls. And that case was settled for like $12.6 million. And so I'd been thinking about writing about that case. And then when this case appeared, you know, I paid attention to it. We kind of, Greg and I talked, you know, Anna Rose, you and I talked. And again, I think when the April charges were filed, it just kind of raised those questions about, well, how do school districts deal with this? Do they only take a report of sexual misconduct seriously if a criminal charge is filed? Because that's not how the state laws and regulations read, you know, for educators. And so I think that raised just a lot of questions for us about how this is playing out, not just at LKSD, but really all over the state.
And Carmichael in Bethel was extremely well-liked, and news of his arrest has left many people losing trust. And many people I've heard in conversation, they said that they're really questioning their own judgment of another person. But there is a lot of research in this area on adults grooming children for abuse. And so what does that research say? What are signs that an adult could be grooming a child? Greg?
I'm working on a story about that right now, actually. There are some sexual abuse prevention trainings that are somewhat new to Alaska, and they list some of those grooming behaviors. One of them is favoring certain students, giving gifts or money to a particular student, engaging in peer-like behavior, like roughhousing, giving students rides in the educator's vehicle, especially alone, frequent electronic communication with the student, talking to the student about the student's personal problems, but to the extent that the adult becomes a confidant for that student. There's kind of more explicitly sexual behavior like engaging in sex talk with students So those are some examples. There's obviously more. There's also the training also says that these may be sexual grooming behaviors, and they may not, but it says just to be safe, teachers should be professional and avoid these behaviors.
And what has LKSD told you that it's doing to prevent something like this alleged abusive and predatory behavior that Carmichael is accused of engaging in, to prevent something like this from happening again? Kyle?
Well, I think they, you know, they've been pretty clear in stating that they, you know, the training that, Greg is talking about, they have that in place. Or a version of it, that training has, you know, is being conducted, has been conducted. You know, I think they have not said much about that, and honestly, I wouldn't expect them to say much because of those pending civil lawsuits, right? You know, if they say something that can be used against them in the civil suits, you know, that their attorney is going to be recommending they not probably get into a ton of specifics about that. So I would say that is an open question, right? That remains to be seen. I mean, I think the key piece of this has been, how do institutions react when something like this happens? You know, what lessons were learned from, say, church abuse, right? And that institution, and how it handled reports of sex abuse. And, you know, are lessons being learned, you know, in the education, you know, in by school districts, right? Are they kind of adopting zero tolerance policies that can really, you know, nip the stuff in the bud as soon as it's reported?
And that's all we have time for. Thank you both for coming on. That was Anchorage Daily News reporter Kyle Hopkins and KYUK reporter Greg Kim. You can find their investigation into criminal allegations against Chris Carmichael and LKSD's response on KYUK.org, on ADN.org, and on ProPublica's website as well. Thank you for joining us. I'm Anna Rose MacArthur. Grady, back to you.
Thank you, Anna Rose. Have an excellent day, all. Tune in to KYUK to celebrate the graduates of the YK Delta. KYUK will be broadcasting graduation ceremonies for participating schools beginning this afternoon at 1:30 when we recognize Joanne Alexie Memorial School of Atmouthlook. Join us at 1:30 and then again at 7 p.m. this evening, and then again all week for graduating seniors. Not enough time for me to say, don't forget to be awesome to each other. Each weekday, a member of the community is invited to Coffee at KYUK to discuss news and information relevant to Bethel and the Kuskokwim Delta.
Sometimes light, sometimes serious, Coffee at KYUK is where our community connects.
If you'd like to suggest a guest or arrange to be on with us yourself, contact us at coffee@kyuk.org or call 543-3131 today.